So Waterboy.
Bobby Boucher himself.
Yeah. Bobby Boucher, not Bobby Hebert, we promise.
Not the Cajun cannon, but the...
So when you go out into the world and you've met people who aren't from here, how often do people ask you if Waterboy is accurate?
Pretty often, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
If anybody has seen or experienced one thing that quote-unquote features Cajuns, it's the Waterboy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a strange thing. Like, imagine if you were Amish and the only thing that people knew about your culture was Amish Paradise by Weird Al.
Or like, what's the bowling one with the Amish bowler? I don't remember what that one was. Kingpin, was that? Yeah.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Like, if that was the only thing about your culture that anyone ever experienced.
Right, Amish Paradise was a better example for sure. Because
no, just ridiculous. In general, like,
yeah.
If all you knew about the Southwest and cowboy culture was Blazing Saddles.
Mel Brooks.
By Mel Brooks. My grandfather, an intellectual, favorite movie on the planet, freaking Mel Brooks. Like the scene with the farting beans around the campfire. Best thing in his life.
Oh, man.
But, you know, it's a weird thing because, like, this podcast wouldn't exist if there wasn't more nuance to Cajun culture. But that everyone knows the Waterboy is very, very interesting to me.
Absolutely. And they captured a lot of those just generalizations pretty accurately. Like, just in a funny way, obviously, in a slightly over-the-top way, but, you know.
Slightly? I mean, come on. What we're doing, we're going to talk about the Waterboy, pimples and all, warts and all, problems and all. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I just need to once again disclose, I am not a huge fan of that time in comedy when it comes to American film. But I recognize this puts me in the minority. And I'm not saying this in a way that, like, makes me like, oh, I don't care for the late 1900s brand of tomfoolery that graced the silver screen. No, I just, if you watch me watching those kind of movies, I'm not trying not to laugh. Like, it's a taste bud that's missing in my brain.
Thing. No, yeah,
not my thing.
Conversely, I mean, I was kind of like a fan of that era of Saturday Night Live, which Adam Sandler stemmed from.
Yeah.
But then, like, at the same time, I walked into this movie not knowing what it was about. I saw it in the theaters in high school, and I did not know what it was going to be about. I just knew it was called The Water Boy, and I was pleasantly surprised, I guess, in a way. I was like, people know about us, and that's what they think about us? That's kind of insulting and hilarious at the same time.
And I think that's what it comes down to, is that it's insulting, but in like this, if they're not from here, that's probably just how they see Louisiana to begin with, because, okay, like, full disclosure, you and I have talked about this off mic before, but I had this guy come up to me at a market in New Orleans, and it was in the evening, he was a little tipsy, and I'm related to Bobby Hebert, to the Cajun Cannon, the hometown boy who made good on the Saints, who were a hometown franchise, and unless you were a football fan in Louisiana in the late 80s, I don't think you can understand how passionate we were about Bobby Hebert. As far as I was concerned coming up, we were Cajun royalty because we were related to the Cajun canon. We were related to Bobby J. And this man at the market tells me, he goes, oh yeah, the Bob Waterboy, that's based on Bobby Hebert. And it hit me, and it hit me from the side because I'd never had anybody say it before.
Yeah, I never thought that.
But at the same time, in that moment, I'm like, oh, God, I think he might be right.
Right. Yeah.
Because Adam Sandler's a football fan. And there's no way, if you're watching sports, right, the way that people watch sports and know about different players and different teams, Bobby was so popular and such a character. And he's still a character, right? Listening to WWL, he is still, he does not sound like he lives as far up the bayou as he does. I think they live in New Orleans now, but like, he does not sound like he ever left.
No, he definitely sounds like he's still from South Lafourche.
That accent does not get pulled back at all. No. And so I code switch more than he does. But to sit there in that moment and just kind of be blindsided, because I wasn't expecting to have this conversation with this stranger in a parking lot, and to sit there and be like, oh, that's my cousin. Oh, that's based on my cousin. And then also in that same moment, having to acknowledge that, like, yeah, if all you saw was that external portrayal of Bobby J and you don't know him personally, I can see the breadcrumbs, right? I can see the breadcrumbs. It's not a direct translation, but I can see how you can breadcrumb from Bobby J to the Water Boy.
Yeah, right? Like, they just filled in the blanks however they wanted, basically, yeah.
Although Aunt Paula would definitely not that Kathy Bates character. She was putting them in pads and shoving them in the backyard before they could walk.
Right.
Bobby J's mama, oh my God. Well, his grandmother, really, were definitely not, you're not playing the foosball. It was, here's the football, now that you can walk,
go in the yard
and make something of yourself.
That's awesome, yeah.
It is kind of difficult because I know my cousin's this intelligent man who's had this amazing career, and he and his kids, they're all like incredibly bright, and how hard they work for all of this. Mm-hmm. And to see it as translated into, I live in a trailer with my mom and we got an alligator in the side who's eating scraps out of the backyard. You know, that's a
donkey
that
lives in the house. Yeah.
Like, yeah. The donkey lives in the house. Like,
speaking of the movie, though, like, I love that house. Like, that house, I would love to have that as a camp, like out in the middle of nowhere.
It's a camp. It's a camp.
They live in a camp. Yeah.
And I think there's something to the way that his mom dotes on him and takes care of him and, you know, you're not moving away and stuff like that. Like, I think there's definitely parts of it that hit home. Yeah. And I think that one of the reasons that finding the correlation so problematic is that there are certain things that they got that are 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely things that they got in there that you're like, oh no, this feels a little too true.
Yeah.
And I think rooting it in football was also a good way to go because, I mean, like, you know, football is
everybody loves a way football of life down the bayou. That's right. It's either LSU or the Saints. You're gonna love one of them, or even even the Raging Cajuns, you know. Yeah.
And I mean, you've got the Raging Cajuns. There's definitely a lot of spirit and pride around the Raging Cajuns. Nichols football, for all that we're not necessarily playing top tier. Yeah, the Colonels have a lot of love for them. But I mean, you played football in high school. You know.
I only played till middle school, actually.
Okay, I thought you played in high school.
No, I did not play football in high school, no.
But it still shapes your week.
Absolutely.
The bridges don't open for boats when the football games are letting out down here. Football defines our way of life from August, whenever those poor children are on the field practicing, oh my God, all the way through to January.
It's part of the reason I didn't play football in high school. I didn't like running so much.
Whenever you have a function in the fall, like, you better check the LSU playing schedule. Or you better check the Saints playing schedule. It shapes our culture.
It shapes marriages. You know, if you get married on a weekend when football's playing, oh my gosh, not only does your husband might not like you for a little bit, and your whole bridal part or groomsmen, or, you know, that affects everybody. That and hunting season, that's the two big ones, you know?
No, and it's definitely something that football as a cultural phenomenon down here, that and Waterboy feels 100% accurate. Everybody packing the stands, everybody being emotionally invested in it. Mm-hmm. That's definitely something that hits, because football is something that hit Cajun culture. And man, we just, I guess kind of along with the whole country, just really took to it. And it's a way for the young people to hold themselves up. It's a way for people who might not necessarily have other opportunities to go and see the larger world. It's, you know, it's college scholarships. It's something that the whole community shows up for. My oldest is starting high school in the fall. Her friends are all in band. She's not in band. And I was like, okay, but your job as the friend who's not in band is to go to every football game and yell at your friends who are in band.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Even if you're not into football, you still go to football games. You're still shaped by that cultural phenomenon and that experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that in Waterboy, rooting the story through Cajun culture and into football is very, very effective.
It's a good vehicle, and, for sure.
Yeah. And like you were saying, like, the structure of it is so classic that who's the lowest person on the football team? It's the water boy. It's the towel person.
And immediately you're given a reason to, like, identify and, like, feel for Bobby Boucher, right? Like, his first team that he's with, they despise him pretty much. As does his next team that he goes to, but they learn to love him after, you know, after they see his value, I guess, right?
Was the first team supposed to be like LSU? Like, it's basically just a very thinly coated, like, LSU versus UL.
Yeah, right. Kind of, right? Yeah.
They're still in the state. Like, they're in the same state. They're not supposed to be, like, out-of-state rivals. So, yeah, it's got to be, like, thinly veiled LSU versus thinly veiled UL.
That's what it felt like, for sure, yeah.
Same.
And the casting was just amazing too. Like, I think we kind of glossed over that a little bit, but like Kathy Bates was a perfect mama. Bobby Boucher, like his, like you mentioned in a previous recording, like his accent wasn't accurate, but like, you know, he was just a simple dude who just wanted everybody to be hydrated. You know, like what?
You know, and even for a look, I know Adam Sandler is Jewish and has Jewish heritage, but I know five guys from down here who are on the Facebook group page of guys who look like Adam Sandler but aren't actually Adam Sandler.
Yeah, for sure. He does look like he could come from down to buy, for
No,
sure.
he totally looks like he's like my neighbor two doors down is in that club. Like kind of, yeah, you kind of look like Adam Sandler, man.
Yeah. And then Henry Winkler as the coach, I just wanted to
Oh
say
my
it was like
God, no,
also an
he.
amazing choice.
It's all really well acted. I love Fairuza Balk, right?
Oh,
Like
dude,
she's.
yeah, her as the girlfriend. Oh my gosh. We all know that girl. We all
We
know that
all know
girl.
that girl. We went to high school with that chick. Like, yeah, she's a little rough, like, especially with the tarot cards and like, no, that's going to be the score.
Yeah.
1000%. 1000%. I think I
Yes.
probably was in trailer parties with Fairuza Balk's character in high school.
We all were, absolutely.
She feels like the most authentically, like, when she's eating the alligator tail, I'm like, I know that chick. I went to school with that chick.
Yeah.
I guess kind of my biggest problems with it aren't even Adam Sandler's portrayal. It's those two background characters.
Oh yeah.
It's the one that's the I have the listing up for the so I can get the actor's name right. It's Blake Clark, who's that character actor who plays like the guy who just kind
Oh, you didn't like him?
of goes. Well, okay, like. If they'd have subtitled it, I don't know. I think they either didn't push it far enough,
Right, okay, I see what you're
just and
saying.
then Rob Schneider's character where he just yells, he's like that one note, like, you can do it, and
Yeah.
he's wearing the outfit that Adam Sandler used to wear for Cajun Man.
Yeah, okay, for
Like those
sure.
two characters, I guess for me, when you watch the movie, there isn't actually a lot of Cajun culture that isn't really like the music and kind of I mean the airboat scene notwithstanding at the end. But like
Right.
it feels like those two characters are where they tried to like reinforce the quote unquote Cajunness of the whole situation.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
It was a really shallow, mumbly, yeah, like that's where I'm like, yeah, you okay, this is why I'm not a big fan of the movie. The Fireflies from Princess and the Frog had more character development than these
Huh.
two characters.
And that's what I was gonna say. Maybe you know those two might be more of fools than Adam Sandler because they have even less growth and less. I
Yeah, I
don't
guess
know.
that's what bugs me. All right, and I'm thinking of this as I'm speaking it. So hear me out. They made a big deal about it. He was like this Bayou Cajun thing, and they have these great character actors, and they didn't really ask them to do much work. You know,
Right, yeah.
it was definitely like there could have been some things, and I mean even have them eating boudin, like put it in a gas
Huh.
station. They could have gone. The fact that I'm even referencing that proves how silly this is. But like, it seems like they could have for the quality of actors that both of these men are. I feel like they could have brought a little bit more even to these very like goofy roles. It seems like the only thing that they threw these guys in to make it quote unquote Cajun, but then they
Yeah.
didn't even throw that much into it. They didn't have them cooking jambalaya. There wasn't a lot of food in it for a Cajun movie that wasn't like even
Right.
a joke.
Right, besides alligator tail
The
and the
alligator,
snake that
which
mama
that is not
cooks.
how you eat that. That is not how you make alligator tail. That is an
Right.
inaccurate.
If
You
mama
don't eat it
says
like that. Like you take the skin off first. It's like Madison eating the lobsters in Splash,
Yeah.
Daryl
Oh
Hannah
man.
Mermaid movie from,
the 80s. Yeah.
yeah,
I remember that
85, I
movie.
think,
Yeah.
kindergarten.
Eugene Levy was in that. Who else?
Oh my God, it's
Anyway.
such a good movie. But you get what I'm saying? Like it feels like they, for all that they tried to just like shoehorn some quote unquote Cajunness, and they just chose like least complicated possible. But no, I don't hate the movie, right? Like going back and rewatching it, I was kind of braced for like a Beavis and Butthead short, and it was much better than that. It's a very
Yeah.
good, cute, sweet, uncomplicated movie. You don't have to sit there and pick it apart after. You don't
Right.
have to do a lot of mental work to like process the plot. It's
It's
definitely like a.
not going to win any awards.
But, you know, like we were talking about in the last episode. It's definitely the fool's journey. It's not the hero's journey. What sort of changes does Bobby go through to make his
Right.
life better? Like, what's his character arc?
Yeah, basically, like he changes jobs. That's it. Like his profession changes from water boy to football player, right? And that's about it.
Yeah.
And he learns to stand up to his mama, maybe, you know? That's about it.
We're both writers, right? We know that there's the character arc and the story arc. When you look at Bobby Boucher, you're not looking at him changing. He's changing the people around him.
Yeah.
Through his goodness and through his kindness.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing his mama, oh, mama, I want to play the football. He changes people. He brings his mama. He brings the community together.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings this sort of interaction. If you look at how he talks to members of the team and the people of the team that he talks to at first are other marginalized people, right? It's the black guy who kicks the KKK head through the...
And
the kicker, let's be honest, right? Waterboy kicker, not much above that.
Yeah.
He's important, but of the starting line, the kicker is not at the top of the totem pole.
No.
Unless you're somebody who can kick from the opposition's 30-yard line.
Right, it's not, for sure.
I was raised with the foosball. I know. I was raised.
Yeah. I do like that. That was his first friend, was the kicker. That's just amazing.
The kicker, he's going up the scale. The guy who's had too many hits to the head, right? Like the concussion victim, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Defensive line all the way. That's usually my people. But it's definitely something he didn't have to change. He didn't have to adapt. He didn't have to stop being a couillon. He didn't have to stop being a fool and an innocent. He just had to prove his worth and stand up for what he wanted and mm-hmm. stop being manipulated by other people. But he doesn't fundamentally change. Whereas you look at other football movies, what was it like? Varsity Blues, right? It came out about the same time as Waterboy.
Very similar, yeah, very similar in time. And it was the dad who's like wanting to get James Van Der Beek to not play football as well. And he's like, I don't want your life, Dad, or something like that. I don't remember what it was.
I mean, most of what I remember from Varsity Blues, I remember from a Not Another Teen Movie parody of it.
Yeah.
In that movie, and usually in the football movies, it's the team coming together, and they do have that, but they really don't. They still suck until Bobby rolls up on the airboat. That part I laughed before, like at that very end, like when they're trying to get to the game at the last minute, and they just take the airboat through the marsh.
The Bourbon Bowl.
The Bourbon Bowl.
I love that as the Bourbon Bowl.
Kathy Bates' character is all, whoo, mama's just riding on the front of the airboat. She's getting them to the game on time. That part to me was freaking hilarious because an airboat would actually work in that situation. those suckers can cruise over anything. Like, you go on an airboat, the worst thing you have to worry about is accidentally launching off the back of an alligator. Because have you ever been on one?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God. Those are so
They're loud,
much fun.
But they're a lot of fun. Yeah, you can go
You don't have to listen to your family. You can just listen to the airboat.
Ride over marsh grass, whatever you need. Yeah.
Oh, whatever you got to do over the Tranasas. Like, you know, you just have to make sure you don't speed bump over some of the actual dirt that exists in the marsh.
Right. Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, they do have that sort of community coming together moment, but there's not a lot of internal conflict with Bobby that results in him changing. It's when everybody shows up, he gets validation.
Right.
He gets support. He gets love. But he doesn't have to change who he is.
No, the only other thing that I could think that he has to actually change, and it's not really him changing, is like he has to pass that test, right? Because his transcript was forged by Coach Klein.
But as soon as he's challenged with it, he goes forward and he does it. It's at no point does he say, oh, I'm a dummy, I'm an idiot. You know, he doesn't shy away from his ignorance. He doesn't ever pretend to be, like, whenever he's in class, he's not haunt to raise his hand.
Right.
About, like, with the Colonel Sanders professor.
Yeah.
The little string tie. You know, he doesn't presume, or he's not aware of his own ignorance, right? And he doesn't make excuses for it. He gets frustrated with it. He doesn't like being made fun of.
Right.
And he learns to stand up for himself. But he at no point does he think, I'm a smart man. Like, he doesn't... he's not trying to hide his reality. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a strength of his. It's like at every point he's like, well, this is a challenge. I'm going to meet it. This is a challenge. Yeah. I'm going to meet it. But that's a character trait through the whole thing. I don't think it's something that he changes.
Yeah, no. I mean, his loyalty is to a fault almost, right? I mean, when his mama also goes into a coma, he fakes her coma, right?
Yeah,
he's like, he's mama. Still by mama's side.
I think that when you look at Bobby Boucher as a character, for all that, the accent's not right. They filmed it in Florida instead of, you know, this was before they did the tax stuff. but it's that he really does hold up, like, the ideals and morals that he lives his life by, his loyalty to family, his hard work, his dedication, the fact that water is incredibly important. These are all values that, as a Cajun culture, we still espouse and we still hold up. Is that, you know, if your mama was in a coma, I promise you would be on an airplane in about 30 minutes.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
And that's, I won't say unique to Cajun culture, but it's definitely something that we as a people pride ourselves on. And,
yeah.
And so I think that the character traits that they chose to incorporate into Bobby Boucher do peg him as a Cajun and do make him a believable character within that Cajun culture. And I think that's one of the reasons that he does have this sort of beloved status in Cajun society, is like, we own Waterboy. Like, you don't see a lot of us distancing ourselves from that portrayal. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Bobby, who he is as a person, is someone that, as Cajuns, we admire those positive qualities that he has.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should just go back and do a voiceover of the Waterboy, but with the real accents.
That would be pretty fun. If only I could read from a script. This could happen.
You can be the Cajun characters. You get to come up with your own lines, right, and you can be
that's
unscripted.
Cool. I could do that.
You
could
be Rob Snyder and Blake Clark's characters.
All right, sounds good.
Just go back and we'll get a cast of characters and we'll re-record it with accurate accents. I've kind of fixated on the love of water. Like, that's some good quality H2O, and like,
yeah,
that Cajuns need to learn about, like, water quality, and like, we need to be better about valuing our H2O. That's a lesson that Bobby Boucher can teach us in today's day and age.
Absolutely, yeah. Not only that, I mean, just for saltwater intrusion as well. Yeah. You know, it's all the Gatorade's the salt water, and it's intrusion.
The Gatorade's coming for us, man. The Gatorade's coming for us. We got to keep our water pure. We got to keep our water better.
Yeah, how do you do that though, right? Only so many levees you could build.
Jeezy crazy.